Wow, we've got an update in regards to the coordinated intervention grant, CQG, and some additional information on implications potentially for the solid waste program, specifically in the enforcement division. Dr. Melnick, Jeff, and Chuck, I guess, will be co-facilitating the update.
Yes, so far.
So CPG, we got a grant from the Department of Ecology for solid waste enforcement activities, and Chuck and Amanda will put him on what some of that work is. We receive every year about $77,000 from this grant. It does have a 25% match, so we have to spend about $100,000 to get that $77,000. We believe right now it's in the House and the Senate budget. The CPG is cut in half. It's in both budgets right now. I believe there is a push statewide to get local jurisdictions, Board of Health, direct letters of support to preserve those funds. And I guess it's really tough to talk about what the work is, I guess.
That fund allows us to support one full-time person to handle all of the solid waste enforcement in the county, and that includes, and I have to go to my numbers here, seven active solid waste facilities, three post-closure landfills that exist in the county, and about 11 other sites that handle other types of waste but don't require a full solid waste facility permit. And that generally is on the order of 42 to 50 inspections over the year to maintain, especially the busier facilities. But right now, if we had to lose capacity for that position, we have to shift their responsibilities away from some of those activities, reduce the level of it. We would focus on the permitted facilities. So we would lose capacity to do some of our inspections of those facilities, which is keeping them staying in compliance and protecting public health issues. There's also quite a bit of complaint response that the solid waste person responds to, illegal dumps, complaints about poor waste handling or illegal waste handling facilities that can lead to issues such as rodent infestation, sometimes biomedical waste and animal waste issues in the county. Again, we would lose capacity roughly 50% of that person's time. They would not be able to respond to those types of complaints in a timely manner. Right now we're able to respond to those very quickly. Usually a lot of them can be closed simply, but then a good percentage of them still need a lot of follow-up to make sure they're closed properly. And then there's just basic day in and day out calls that come in, and we about every year we get about 1,100 of those types of calls, and this is that person also is responsible for handling that. So there's a lot of really great customer service and rapid turnaround that full-time position provides, and it would be impacted because we'd have to divert some of their time to other funding and other programs because if we lost these funds.
And typically, when we lose a grant or part of a grant, we have to address it. In this case, our volume and other programs in that unit are actually up right now. So we have funding coming in excess of what we have budgeted that can actually support that lost funding for now.
Right.
The correct question is will that volume sustain, you know, over the long haul? So
where are we in the budget cycle for you know, when you talk about the long haul, when would we, if worst case scenario?
Well, honestly, if activity in the programs that are seeing an uptick right now stop tomorrow, we'd have to address this probably July 1, which is when the state budget will go into effect. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. I mean, if there is a slowdown, it won't be that quick. It'll be gradual. Right now, we're in month 5 of our current 2-year biennial budget. We start working on our next biennial budget next spring. It'll be for 2017-18.
So if we were to take some kind of position supporting funding, would it be during this biennial budget or for the next biennial?
Currently,
because of this over the volume benefit you have. Yeah.
Currently, we're asking. I'm pretty sure we're asking for a letter to the state to preserve these funds at the state level. As far as advocating for funding from the county or during our budget process.
Yes.
Depends on how things go. Again, if there's a slowdown in building that impacts our other program revenues, might be sooner than the next budget.
So that's not what you're meeting right now, the county. You're talking about some kind of support, or some support from the council to the at the state level.
Yes. Excellent question.
So, I mean, we're going to prepare a draft letter for our board of counselors, but it might be nice to have the public health advisory council. I guess a letter could go to the board of health.
I think, if I understand correctly, we have a letter to the board of health asking them to write a letter to the state. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was trying to get clear here, because it could be, we could be taking another action on this related to Clark County's budget in this. Okay, so I just wanted to be clear that we were doing what we were doing. I think we should do that. I mean, clearly, this is a public health. I mean, it could be a public health, could affect the health of the public. You know, I think just as you're saying, these things wouldn't be intended to.
It would be very challenging to keep the facilities, operating facilities that this position oversees at a level that keeps them operating very efficiently and preventing problems. But and then all the other issues regarding complaint responses would be much more impactful.
And it's always hard when you write about prevention because we know what will happen, but sometimes people, you're advocating for prevention, and that's always a hard sell.
Yeah, you don't see on the news every night the thousands of people that ate at a restaurant didn't get sick.
Well, there's an aspect of public health where you don't always get a fee, and solid waste claims is one of them. And I know historically there was money in the general fund, or that's all changed. But, so it's something that environmental health just is one of their missions, is they've got to take care of it. Mm-hmm. But it's something that just doesn't generate the revenue. Mm-hmm.
And how long has the Department of Ecology been in this grant? How long has
we've had this grant? I've been here 17 years. We've had this grant as long as I've been here, but I don't remember. Okay.
Do you need a motion to forward this thing, or just it's automatic?
You probably have a.
If you guys approve it, however you do that, then we'll work with Trevor to draft a letter. There's a letter that I was supposed to draft for the board as well.
Internal right now.
I think just a consensus.
Yeah. And I think the other part is we'd also need permission from the council for Trevor to sign the letter on your own behalf. Correct, Julie?
That's usually just kind of presumed that if the council says,
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think we should do it.
Yes.
Just as long as it comes in just underneath the Public Works Trust Fund loan.
That is an issue. There's always committing state interest. If the state cuts money here, are they going to? If they give us money here, they're going to cut somewhere else.
What's the source of the funding that the state receives? Is it state general funds?
Yes.
That's tough.
It's really tough.
Yeah. We've been hearing just very, very recently, in the last week, from our lobby folks that state shared revenues for locals is at risk for the late night, last minute deal that will adopt a state operating budget, and then capital budget, and then transportation budget.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. There's a lot of balancing going on, and the pressure from the school system.
With the McCleary decision and all that. Right. So there's, I know that the Washington State Association of Counties and Washington State of Local Public Health Officials are all behind restoring this funding as well. I mean, I talked to the WASAFO, State Association of Local Public Health Officials, legislative person, and he said it was a good idea to get some letters of support out there.
Said it's in their budget. It's already in both chambers.
They cut it in both budgets right now.
Cut. How about the governor? What did the governor propose?
There was no cut in his budget, but again, his came out in December.
So you're trying to get it back.
Typically, there were a few days between his all cuts budget and his plan B budget, basically.
Right.
this year they came out with an hour or a day at most. So no one really paid attention to his whole cut budget. So I shouldn't say nobody.
You did.
We didn't really work out much.
You know, I think one of the things, again, this is at a point where we're on the council where, you know, at some point in time, the what we're doing in public, what public health is doing is invisible. And it's like something that we on the council need to come up with a strategy to educate, make sure the public understands what prevention means. I think that's the role of us, the council, to maybe work on a strategic campaign, because it's not getting any better. And at some point in time, maybe we need to add on, increase the targeted dedicated tax for public health to support these prevention efforts. And I don't know, but I think we need to make sure that our public, the people that we're representing, really understand the return on investment that they're getting from the piddly amount that's coming to public health in terms of, the well-being of our community. And it seems to me that that's something that we on the council, it's certainly not on our agenda or on our plan, but I think as we go into the future, I think it's something that we should probably look at. What could we do to, increase the public's awareness of the return on investment that we get by funding adequate, and we're not talking gross, huge increases, but adequately funding public health to do these basic functions. Yeah. Our community is getting a huge return, and it's an invisible thing. So,
the letters that we're going to ask from the Board of Health and from you guys, the Board of Health, will go to the delegation. I should have mentioned that earlier. It will go to the senators and the representatives from Clark County.
Right.
So that's who will be there, because that's where it is. It's the budget and the House and the Senate.
I'm thinking at some point in time we need to add this to our agenda. What can we on the council do to increase the public's awareness of the impact, the benefit of supporting our public health? What does it mean to our community? Now, it's not in our work plan for the year, but I think at some point in time we need to put it on the work plan and work with Dawn and with our whole council in terms of how can we make sure the community that we represent and all the entities that understand why we make these decisions is because the data on return on investment in public health is huge. What a sevenfold return on every dollar we put into public health. I mean, there's lots of evidence about that. We mm-hmm. need to turn that into a public awareness campaign in Clark County.
Especially when there's no, as Jeff mentioned, there's no advocacy group for kids who don't have ACEs.
I mean, that was the theme last year. The last year's Public Health Week was return on investment. Lots of data last year, not this year. And it seems to me that we could, over the course of the next year just really begin to look at what's the impact in Clark County in terms of that return on investment. And that really then, helps us talk to whether it's the board counselors or state, just really understand ourselves the impact that we're having in the community.
It'd be nice to see our revenues just grow at the pace of costs. Mm-hmm. That way we're not trying to address reductions every 2 years in my budget.
Yeah.
We're on cost increases. That's the system we've got, is we've got flat revenues. We have it for a decade or more than a decade. And it puts us in these spots.
I think the other thing I was thinking about, which we were talking about, Joan, about prevention, is I was thinking about other campaigns that have been on prevention, particularly around health care. But usually those messages have to do with the benefits to you as a person. I think it's a lot harder to talk about the benefits to the community.
Oh, I know we're struggling that way right now with the ACEs. We know how, the work that we're doing, working with Cindy in terms of the ACEs Collaborative. I mean, it's harder to look at it at that community level.
Well, and get people engaged and interested in learning to have the conversation.
But like the cost of one messy dump with rodents, et cetera, that could be prevented. You look at the cost of that. I mean, and like we look at the cost of an E. coli or, just begin to look at some things and ask, what's the cost in Clark County?
Yeah.
And if we continue to support those, this is the public health, and we can save those, we get that return.
And we could possibly come up, like right now, we're in the midst of an outbreak of pertussis. And obviously, the vaccine is not 100% effective, but there's a high, much higher rate of pertussis in unvaccinated or under-vaccinated people. The amount of time and energy and staff time and cost that's going in to identifying folks with pertussis, identifying their close contacts and getting prophylaxis to them, the cost of that is so much greater, aside from the health effect of people suffering and, you know, potential for an infant dying of this, but the cost of just responding to these things, I don't think people are aware of. It's huge, rather than, you know, compared to the cost of vaccinating everybody. So we certainly...
Well, the cost of responding to those 1,300 complaints versus letting those things go to full-blown messes.
Mm-hmm. It is important to mention that the same conversation that is going on right now in Clark County, what we are talking about here, is happening national level.
Yeah.
It's happening with physicians, it's happening with this surgeon general, it's happening with everybody to put public health and medicine together.
Right.
So it's something that we could start from the grassroots, but happening, knowing that it's happening all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Prevention Council, the National Prevention Council, part of the Affordable Care Act and strategies that are there, I mean, actually applying that to what we're doing here in Clark County. I just think that, or what, we're going to deal with the letter now, and then we'll deal with another letter, and then we'll deal with that. It's because, as you said, Jeff, it's just flat, and our population's growing, and
so
we're
going to
lose the person, and so we're going to have dumps to clean up, and it, so,
instead of writing letters for more money, we're writing letters to keep money we already have.
We're happy when the cuts, we don't have, I mean, that's what we've gotten used to, is, it's a success, it's a victory when you can just keep the budget from being cut more.
Mm-hmm.
As everybody's going to go home with gloom and doom here, I'm sorry.
Do we have data on the cost of preventing or treating, rather, pertussis?
Well, we can measure, we can get at least provide some information. We can work on that in terms of the amount of staff time it takes to respond
okay.
to pertussis and our investigators, how long it takes them to identify contacts and all that. We can come up with something rough on that.
Well, I think what Joel's referred to, we really have come up with a good way to fund public health.
That's right.
In the state. And it's something that's, we kind of mentioned a little bit, but I don't know what other...
There's a statewide work group, Foundational Public Health Services. The problem is it's the same issue. The state's got budget issues as well. So us getting money out of the state, it's going to be challenged anyway.
But what it used to be where you have, years ago, you knew what funding you would get as a base funding, but now it doesn't seem like you even know that.
Well, we should get some kind of a percentage on license plate sales.
We actually get very little money from, when you look at the money we get from the state, a lot of it is federal pass-through, so we don't get much
You don't include the foundational money, you're right. We do get $3.5 million money and the foundational money.
Yeah.
The issue isn't that there's funding that's given to us, it's that we're never sure how safe that funding is long term.
That's what
it's next budget.
Okay. The other thing that makes me want to pull my hair out is if you look at the amount of funding that goes into healthcare, we're less than 1% of the healthcare budget. Think of all the waste there is in the healthcare system, and we're like, literally one penny on the dollar that goes into the healthcare system. Our budget is 1% of that. So I think we need to look at more opportunities of getting some funding through that. But that's another long.
Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, how do you build the business case for public for supporting public health? And it's got to be in collaboration with the healthcare system because we're part of the healthcare system. Newly part of the healthcare system.
Yeah, there may be some opportunities there, but we're going to have to work pretty hard on that.
So do we have to go to write the letter or the letter will happen?
If we're going off of head nods or
okay.
thumbs up.
Look like general consensus board of that. Any other comments? It looks like we have anybody in attendance in regards to public comments this evening. So with that, I guess we're adjourned this evening. Thank you for attending.
I think it's also out of the county and start printing money.
Wow.
Well,
She was just leaving the kitchen to come, but she'll be here in 10 minutes. Yeah, you should. You know, I brought back a little box.
We won't want to add water to get to the next part.